So, good morning, everyone. It's, you know what, it feels really weird because we've been away for a couple of weeks. In fact, this year, I think I've taken 3 Sundays off, and that is the most Sundays I've not been at church in probably the last 10 years on average. I feel we've had a great holiday, feel really refreshed, but feel a bit like let's get back into it now. So if you were here on Tuesday, we had a great film called The Upside. I know some of you who weren't able to make it, some of you watched it on Wednesday night as well. But for those of you that have not seen it, I found a trailer. You know those trailers that some of them are like teasers, and then there are those trailers that basically give away the whole plot in the trailer. I found one that pretty much gives away the whole plot. So in the next 3 minutes, we'll watch the trailer for The Upside, and for anyone that didn't watch it, you'll pretty much get the gist of it. So if you want to watch the screen.
I need assistance.
Wait, don't your arms work?
They don't.
You can move your mouth.
As can you. So I
surrender.
This is the
moment. You need to prove you're looking for work.
Yeah, I've been looking, trust me.
3 signatures by tomorrow, or you can tell it to the judge. Tell me about a time when you worked hard to solve a problem.
This morning, getting up.
We're gonna find you someone you like.
Let me be your arms and your legs.
I love that. All right.
Penthouse.
You need to wait your turn.
Relax, it's not a holdup. Just sign this from the police.
How would I sign it?
I don't know. Slowly? Wait, don't your arms work?
They don't.
You can move your mouth.
As can you. I need assistance.
How much does it pay? Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. It's my bad, man.
You are not qualified for this position.
The buckle!
Have you ever changed a catheter?
Nah.
Pinch the head. Insert.
I can't feel it.
Oh. Well, I can. You want to feed your soul? Then listen to its clue. Think about what you're trying to do to me.
It's amazing, ain't it?
Sound just like her.
Yeah, it's uncanny.
You as rich as Jay-Z?
No, richer.
Which car is yours?
All of these to the right.
Oh, my God.
They're not practical.
Exactly. You can have any girl you want. What about this lady with all the Botox? Are we perfect for each other? You can't move your body, she can't move her face.
I specifically said nothing for my birthday.
I'm sorry you gotta have a surprise party in your huge mansion. Some of us got real problems. I'm fighting to see my son.
And whose fault is it? Is it yours, or is the world out to get you?
Are you mad? You wanna break this big-ass bottle of wine?
Yeah.
What else you wanna do?
The ball.
Dell made a mess. So I surrender. This is the
moment. Just relax. I am relaxed. This is me being relaxed.
So there you go. A quick recap. If you've not seen that film, I would highly recommend it to you. Very, very good film. So just a quick summary. Basically, the film is about 2 characters. And the whole story, the whole plot is about these 2 characters and how they grow and how they interact with each other. And there's 2 main characters in it. Dell, who's looking for a job. And basically, Dell needs to start getting signatures to prove that he's been applying for different jobs. And he has, he's got 24 hours to get 3 signatures. And he needs it to show it to his parole officer. You see, he's a convicted criminal. And he neglects his family. He got in with the wrong crowd. He made a mess of his life. His family don't want anything to do with him. He's not supporting them. And he blames other people for the situation that he's in. And then the other character in this film is a guy called Philip Lacasse. And he's a rich man, he's well known, he's an author, he's famous for writing a business book, and he's now a paraplegic. He's lost the ability to use everything from the neck down in this film. Basically, he was in a paragliding accident, and you saw a shot of the paragliding at the end of that trailer. He was in a paragliding accident, and he's really in despair. He's got nothing left to live for. His wife has died. He lost his wife to cancer, and he's looking for a way out of his life. He's completely given up on everything. So we have these two characters. And what I want to do just over the next probably 15, 20 minutes is I just want to pick out, there were four quotes from this film that really spoke to me about the ways that, one, the way that we live our lives, and two, the way that God works in us. So four quotes that I picked out, because it's all about changing people's lives. You know, there are a lot of similarities really in the Bible, and there probably isn't time to go into all of it today, but of people whose lives have been completely changed by God. And just to give one example of that, we've got the story of Paul, who was completely against Christianity, completely against Jesus, and had dedicated his entire life to doing everything he could to kill Christians, to kill the Christian faith, and to kill the teachings of Jesus. And in a very short period of time, Jesus transforms his life and changes it around. And he ends up dedicating the rest of his life to serving Jesus, to following Jesus, and more than that, to actually dedicating his life to going out into the world and sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone that he meets. And that's just a little glimpse of the power that God has in our lives. So there were four things in this film that really spoke to me. Four quotes, and we're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at each one of those. And the first one is this: people make mistakes. So in the film, there comes a point where Del has to return a book. Now, early on in the film, before he started working for his new boss, when he's in that penthouse apartment, he steals a book from the bookcase, and he gives it to his son as a birthday present. And it's what he didn't realize. He thought it was just a book. So he just took a book, thought, this wealthy billionaire, he's not going to miss it. I'm going to give this book to my son. And throughout the story, we come to realize that actually the book is really important. You see, the book, first of all, was a first edition, a very rare first edition of a very famous novel. It was The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And that's quite a well-known book, and it was a first edition. And not only that, but his wife, who he'd lost to cancer years ago, had given him that book as a birthday present. In fact, she'd given him a set of books, one every year for his birthday while they were married. So this book had tremendous value to him. But Del didn't know this. Del just saw a book, and he took the book, and he gave it to his son, and he stole that book. And a little bit later on in the film, when the relationship between the two characters changes and they come to get to know each other and they come to respect each other, Del realizes that he's still got this book, this really expensive, valuable book that he stole from his boss and he'd given to his son as a present. And he knows that he needs to return it. And he has to have a very difficult conversation with his son and ask for the present back that he'd given to his son at the start of the film. So a really awkward situation to be in. And the son gets really cross. And basically, to cut a long story short, the son goes and hands the book back to his boss, to this guy, Phil, the paraplegic guy, the billionaire. And he goes, "Sorry, I didn't realize this was your book," and gives it to him. And in all of that, this one line stood out, which is when he says, "I'm really sorry, I stole this book from you before I knew you, before I took the job, before we'd spent so much time together." And Phil just turns around and says, "People make mistakes." Yeah. Wow. And it struck me that actually, how quickly are we to forgive? Yeah. When people do stuff that hurts us, when they steal from us, when they cause us pain, when things like that happen in our life, how quickly are we to just go, "People make mistakes," rather than hold a grudge or resent the people that have done us wrong. It would have been really easy for this billionaire to go, how dare you? How dare you steal this book that my dead wife gave me? How dare you steal this book that is so valuable to me that it is irreplaceable, a first edition of this novel with sentimental value. It cannot be replaced. How dare you? But he doesn't. He just says, people make mistakes. And he takes the book back and he welcomes Del to continue working for him. So how quickly are we to forgive people who do us wrong? You see, there's a very famous prayer in the Bible, and I want to read it to you, and it's Matthew 6, 9 to 15, and it says this, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive our sins as we have forgotten those who sin against us. And not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us for the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, there's a clear message in that prayer that we must forgive those who forget, and we must forgive those who sin against us, who do stuff wrong that hurt us. And as we do that, God says, and I will forgive you for all the stuff that you do wrong. Because maybe in that story, maybe Phil, the billionaire, maybe he'd never stolen a book in his life. But I tell you that he will have done something wrong in his life. He will have sinned at some point in his life. Maybe a very different sin to that of this other character, Del. Maybe he never ended up in prison. Maybe he didn't do the things. He didn't have the childhood, the upbringing, the family situation. They were polar opposites, but they both sinned. And they both need forgiveness. So no matter what people do to wrong us in this life, we should be quick to forgive them. You know, we all have a past. Maybe we don't all have a criminal record, but we all have a record. We all have things that we've done wrong, things that we've done that are against God, that God is not happy with. We all have a history of sin. But in the same way that Phil forgave Del in this story, God forgives us for all of the things that we do. All of the things that we do wrong. When we accept Jesus, he's washed away all of our sins. And it says this in Hebrews. It says, for God was with us, God was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once for all time. So when Jesus died, he forgave all of our sins. Not just the ones that you've done, but the ones that you do tomorrow. The ones that you do the day after. And the message in this story is, people make mistakes. That's okay. People make mistakes. Be quick to forgive. So that's the first thing that really spoke to me in this film. The second one is this. There's a line where Phil is talking to Del. And he simply says, I'm not intelligent. I'm not intelligent. You see, Del has such low opinions of himself that he sees everybody as being better than him. At one point in the film, Del is talking about his family. And he's really proud to go to Phil and say, Phil, my son, he got straight A's in his exam. And he says, my wife is clever. My wife is intelligent. She's got a job. And he said, me, I'm not intelligent. You see, he'd grown up having such little faith in himself. Didn't do well at school. Didn't get my GCSEs. Didn't get the grades that I wanted. Can't hold the job down. Got sucked into the wrong crowd. Ended up in prison. Can't find a job. I'm not intelligent. And Phil turns around to him and he just says, you are intelligent. You are intelligent. I don't know how you view yourself today. I don't know whether you have grown up not believing in yourself. Maybe you didn't get the grades that you wanted at school. Maybe you lost the job that you were hoping for. Maybe you are struggling with who you think you are. Maybe you're sat here today in the same position that Dell was in, which is saying, I'm not intelligent. What have I got to offer? And in the same way that Phil says to Dell, you are intelligent. God says to you this morning, you are intelligent. God says to you this morning, you are loved. You have a purpose. Yeah. I have a plan for you. You are intelligent. Every one of us this morning, God says, you are intelligent. You are loved. And sometimes it's so easy to sit there and go, yeah, but not really. I'm not like Diane. Diane's really clever. I'm not like Diane. Maybe God loves Diane more than he loves me. Or maybe I say, I've not got the job like Matt's got. I'm not as good a person. I've not got what they've got. I don't have the family like Paul and Liz have got. Maybe you look around and you compare yourself and you say, I'm not the person that I want to be. And God looks at you today and he says, but you're the person that I want you to be. God looks at everyone this morning and says, you are the person that I made you to be. Yeah. And I have a plan for you. And I have a purpose for your life. And maybe for some of us, we just need to ask God a little bit more about what that actually means. You see, when we accept Jesus into our lives, we need to accept how Jesus sees us and not how we see ourselves. Where we compare ourselves to other people. You see, it says in Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in the image of God. You are intelligent. And that was the second thing that really spoke to me. That we need to begin to see ourselves differently. As that relationship with Dell progresses, with Dell and Phil progress through the film, Dell's character changes. He grows, he matures, and he believes in himself. And he becomes a better person. By the end of the film, spoiler alert, he set up his own business and he's doing well. And sometimes we just need to see ourselves, how God sees us. And down the road, you'll be able to come back and go, do you know what? When I started seeing myself how God sees me, look at the changes in my life. So I want to encourage you that you are intelligent and that God has a plan for your life. Third quote that spoke to me during this film is on the screen, and it's a quote said by Phil, so the wealthy businessman, Phil. And the quote is this, the important thing is to see and encourage potential. And you see, throughout the film, Phil's trying to draw out of Dell, what is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you love doing? And throughout the film, Dell has these different ideas. One of the ideas early on in the film when he's not really quite got to grips with it is he thinks he's got this great idea for an app where you can find your nearest drug dealer. And Phil says, probably not a great app to look at developing. Maybe go back to the drawing board and see what other ideas you can come up with. And throughout the film, he's coming up with these different ideas of what he could do. And partway through the film, he thinks, I know, I could be an artist. just want to show you a quick clip.
All right, y'all ready? I give you Untitled Number Zero, or What is Bravery?
Where's the Twombly?
You talking about the one that had the red squiggly lines on it?
Yes.
I took it down, I put it in the kitchen, right next to the recycle bin.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? Come on.
Well, I'm not saying I'd hang it, but there's something...
Something very passionate.
Almost postmodern.
I like the dog.
It's unexpected. And I say that with admiration.
Who knows, man? I might be the next boss squad. Life is crazy.
Shall I go find the Twombly? You can't be serious.
Well, it may not be your cup of tea or mine.
Or even in the tea family.
But the important thing is to see and encourage potential. Don't you see potential here?
I love that. Not the picture, but the quote. So for those of you that haven't seen the film, earlier on they're talking about what is bravery, and that picture was depicting a Doberman with an arrow coming out of its mouth, which he decided was about as brave as you could get. A Doberman with an arrow coming out of his mouth. He entitles it, What is Bravery? I'm not sure that if I came up with a picture like that and I showed my friends that they would probably be quite as graceful and encouraging as that group of people were. I love the fact that they were all positive while clearly not liking the picture. But they had lots of positive things today. Particularly, I like the dog. I thought it was a good analysis of the painting. But Phil, unlike the others who just saw a rubbish picture, Phil saw something different. Phil saw potential. And in fact, he says it in that quote. He says, the important thing is to see and encourage potential. You see, I think Phil, a little bit like God, was looking past the actual paint on the canvas, and he was looking into the heart of Dell. And he was encouraged by the fact that Dell, off his own back, had decided to have a go at something new, to do something he wasn't comfortable with. He wasn't a painter. He'd just seen paintings around the house with squiggly lines that were worth thousands of pounds and thought, well, I might as well have a go. You never know. I might make some money from it. And he had a go. And Phil looks beyond that picture and he sees Dell's heart and he sees what Dell is trying to do. He sees the potential in Dell. Now, Dell doesn't go on to be an artist. He goes on to start his own business. But through a series of events, Phil very tactfully manages to convince someone that that is a really famous picture and sells it for $50,000 to this art collector who then gives the money to Dell, who uses it to start his business. You see, Dell never saw the picture as the end result, but he saw the potential that Phil never saw the picture as the end result, but he saw what Dell had in him and was able to help him and encourage him to get to where he needed to be. You see, when God looks at us, he sees beyond the immediate. He sees the potential that each one of us has within us. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that at 13 or 14 years old, the first day that I ever got up in front of church and I got my bass guitar out and I played along to some worship songs, I'm pretty sure that that was not the best service that I've ever played in. I'm pretty sure that I hit loads of wrong notes, that I made loads of mistakes, and it probably sounded really ropey. And there were probably people sat in that congregation in the 90s and looked out and thought, he's not very good. But God saw something different. God saw the potential of what was to come years later. For us, maybe we need to do something that gets us out of our comfort zone. Maybe we know what God wants us to do, and the thought of doing something new terrifies us. And maybe the first time you have a go at it, it might end up looking like a picture of a dog with an arrow coming out of its mouth. But what follows after that moment is what's important. You see, God sees the potential in you to be who God has called you to be, to do the things for him that he has asked you to do. And I want to read a Bible verse to you, and it's from 1 Samuel, and it says this: "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God sees our heart. God sees your heart. And I want to encourage you this morning that God sees the potential in you. But I also want to encourage you that we're also called to see the potential in others. So as we encourage, to use church as an example, as we encourage new people to stand at the front and to share and to get involved in worship and to get up, and new people who preach, let's look at them and see the potential that God has placed in them. And encourage people in our church, in our family, in our connect groups. Encourage one another and look for the potential. Look what God sees in them. And I want to end with one final quote. And the final quote is this: who paraglides in the storm? You see, as the story develops and Del asks Phil, how did you end up losing the use of your whole body from the neck down? How did that happen? And he says, I was in a paragliding accident. And he says, how? I've just told you I was in a paragliding accident. Yeah, but how? What caused the accident? And he said, I caused the accident. My bad judgment caused the accident. You see, he had everything. He was a billionaire. He had a nice wife. He had a fancy apartment, all the cars that he could imagine of having, the greatest job. He was renowned in his field. He was at the top of his game. In fact, he'd done so well in his business that he'd written books about it and was teaching other people how to do what he did. He had everything. But he had one shortcoming, which is pushing himself beyond what he could do. And his wife contracted cancer, and to cheer his wife up, he decides to take his wife paragliding. And there's a lightning storm, and he says, do you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go out in the storm. And as a result of that one decision that he makes, there's an accident. His bad judgment causes an accident, and he loses everything. He becomes paralyzed. He has to be fed. He has to be changed. He can't do anything for himself. His wife then dies of cancer, and he is left completely alone. And he says, who paraglides in the storm? And the difficult challenge is that actually there are times in our life when we make bad judgments, when we do things that are not the right choice. We do things wrong. And there are some things when we make those mistakes where we live with the consequences of our actions. I know firsthand that every day when I wake up and it's raining and my ankle hurts, I live with the consequences of that decision to get my bike out and go on the motorway in the rain, which led to me having two bolts in my ankle and causes me pain when it's raining. And for the rest of my life, I live with the consequences of a decision that I made. And we all live with different consequences of things that we've done, different consequences of bad judgments. I don't know if you're guilty of paragliding in the storm, of doing something that you wished you'd never done, and if you could go back in time and change things, you might have left the bike in the garage and taken the car. Or you might have chosen not to go out that night, or not to meet that person, or not to go to that place, or whatever it might be. Maybe there are regrets that you have for the decisions that you made years ago and the consequences that maybe you still live with. But I want to end by telling you this, that throughout these quotes that I've shared with you this morning, that we serve a God that will always forgive you, that accepts that everybody makes mistakes, that knows that we all make bad judgments, that sees you as intelligent, and that encourages the potential within you. You see, we serve a God that maybe won't rewind time and do things again. It's not an Avengers movie. Maybe he's going to actually just help you to live with the consequences of the decisions you've made. Live with the mistakes of your past. And in that film, Dell didn't go back and not end up going to prison. But he changed now and he moved on in his future. And you can do the same. And God says this morning that no matter what your past, no matter what your decisions, I see you and I see your potential and I love you and I am always going to be there for you. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning, church, that God sees you and he sees who you are. Thank you, church.